Getting to know Jesus. Amen. We all have a preconceived idea sometimes, and the world in general has a preconceived notion of Jesus and who He is. But I want to get to know Him this morning like He wants us to know Him. Turn in your Bibles with us this morning into Matthew chapter number 16. And as you're turning, we would like to welcome our visitors this morning. It's good to have you with us. We count it a privilege for you to be here this morning. You could have been a lot of other places, but you chose to be here. And that's not something we take lightly. Thankful for that song. I was thinking about trying to sing, but when she sung that, we've been battling a cold and allergies, and it wouldn't have been pretty anyway. But God just knew the song that would go with the message this morning. If you found Matthew chapter 16, we would invite you to stand if you're able as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. In Matthew 16, verse number 13, the Word of God says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? Jesus asked His disciples who people think He is. And if I was to go through this church this morning and I was to ask you, who do you think Jesus is? What would you say about Jesus? No doubt I would get a myriad of answers. Sister Tanya would no doubt say that He's the great physician as well as the master of the storm. Amen. I think that there are others who would say that He's been my help and my strength and my encouragement in my times of trouble. Some that don't know Him very intimately might say, well, He was a great teacher and a preacher and a prophet in days of old. And we would get a myriad of answers as Jesus realized that the people that seen Him and knew Him and heard Him had come to realize. But we have a treasure in the Word of God of things that Jesus has said and the things that Jesus told us about Himself. When you want to get to know somebody, you want to know a little more about them, don't you? Amen. And you try to find out and you try to get as much information and get as close to them as you can so that you can really know them and understand them. And throughout God's Word, we have found pictures that are descriptions of who He is and what He's done. We see Him in the Old Testament to the prophetic eye. We see the bleeding lamb. We see the mighty king. We see the counselor. We see great pictures that are given to us of Christ and who He is. We see in the New Testament as we read through, He's the great healer, the great teacher. Amen. He's everything that everybody needs whenever they've needed it. And they've certainly found these things out as Paul wrote. He was the paschal sacrifice. He was our lamb, our sufficient lamb, our only lamb that was worthy to be offered and sacrificed for us. He was the lamb slain before the foundations of the world. There's a lot to say about Jesus, and there's a lot. John said, if we wrote all the things that He did and all that we could say about Him, the whole world itself couldn't contain all that He did. We we realize His power and His greatness, when we get to realize Him. Some men and some women, until you get to know them and get to understand them and get to see them, who they are, you never really get to grasp their greatness. You never really get to grasp just who they are and what they can do. But Paul tells us in different places, and John tells us in different places, and Matthew and the other writers of the New Testament. But I want you to hear what Jesus has to say about Himself, and get to know Jesus more intimately this morning. In John chapter number 8, and you could go through John, and you could begin to read in John chapter 1, and read through the end of the book of John, and you would get to hear in sequence all the things that Jesus said. We're going to look at a few of them this morning, not in sequence, but as a matter of fact, in the order, I think that we need to see them. In verse chapter 8 of John, verses 56 through 58, Jesus made this statement: "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. I then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Amen. Jesus said, "I want you to know something." He said, "You all are running back, and every time I talk to you, you bring up we're Abraham's seed, we're Abraham's children, we're Abraham's, we're Abraham's, we're Abraham's." He said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Abraham knew me as the one who come by his way and supped with him in the tent in the plain of Mamre there." He said, "I'm the one who spoke with Abraham face to face." He said, "I'm the one whom Abraham worshipped and whom Abraham rejoiced to see." He said, "I am the great I am." He said, "Before Abraham was, I am. Before the world was created, I am. Before you knew that you had a need this morning, he wants you to know that I am." I want you to realize something this morning. He's not the great I was. He is the great I am. Amen. He always was the great I am. He always will be the great I am. He was sufficient for Abraham in his day, and he's sufficient for you today. Amen. Amen. To refuse him in his identity, to refuse him as the great I am, is literally to refuse any hope that you have in this world whatsoever. Amen. It was he that spoke the world into existence. It's he that orders the world. He hung the stars into space. He told the sea how far it could come. He tells the body when to breathe. We think our brains do it. We think ourselves are something special. And the body truly is complex in the way that it's made, in the way that it functions. But I want you to know something. There's not a doctor on this earth that can tell you the time that death will occur. But the great I am knows the very moment, because there's an appointment that each one of us will keep. Amen. To reject and refuse the great I am is to reject and to refuse any hope in his ability to do what he said that he can do. You see, it don't take an earthly, it don't take a carnal, it don't take a common sacrifice to cleanse us from our sins, but it takes an extra, a special sacrifice that the world couldn't provide. It takes a heavenly sacrifice that only the world could give us, and to reject him is to reject that and to refuse that. Jesus said, "I before Abraham was, I am." When Moses spoke to him in the wilderness, he said, "Who shall I say sent me?" He said, "Just tell him I am. I sent you." He is the great I am today, and I want you to know that you need to know who he is, and you need to realize that he's not just a teacher. He's not just a prophet. He's not just what the secular world says that he is, but he is the very God that spoke the world into existence. He is the very Son of God, one part of the triune Godhead of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is the only hope for mankind. He's the only hope for this world. He's the only hope for your needs. He's the only hope for families. He's the only hope for addictions. He's the only hope for problems that you're facing. He's the only hope for those who walk in darkness. He's the only hope for those who thirst for water. He's the only hope for those who are suffering and wasting away under the penalty and the curse of sin, as we see it just sup and suck and draw the very life out of the spiritual man, and we see a world that's dying in sin moment by moment, day by day. He is the great I Am. In chapter 4, he met the woman at the well. He said, I must needs. Hey man, he purposed to go there because he wanted her to know him, and he wanted her to realize what only he could do. And Jesus answered in chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He was talking to her about the water that was in the well. He asked her give her a drink, and she was amazed, and she was surprised, and she was astonished that a Jew would ask a Samaritan for something to drink. My lands, that was one of the worst conflicts and worst relationships that ever existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. Jews would go miles out of their way to travel from Galilee into Jerusalem just to keep from going through Samaria because they hated the Samaritans that much. But here, the great I Am has come by. The great I Am isn't afraid to sit in the place where the Samaritans are going to be. The great I Am isn't afraid to ask the woman who's come to draw water from the well to give him something to drink. And she says, well, you don't have anything here to draw with. He said, don't worry. He said, you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. Let me tell you something, folks. The world has told us to try this. The world has told us to try that. The world has given us this religion. The world has given us that religion. And the world is thinking up new religions every day. And the people are still thirsting for something. They're still thirsting for what the world can't offer. Jesus said, you drink of this water and you're going to thirst again. Let me tell you something, folks, this morning. If you keep going to the wells that this world has to offer you, you're going to find that you'll never be satisfied and you'll thirst again. But Jesus said, let me tell you something. He said, you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. He said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. If you refuse him this morning, you'll thirst the rest of your life. You'll thirst to all of eternity for righteousness. You'll thirst forever for hope. You'll thirst forever for the answers to your problems. You'll never be satisfied with what the world has to offer you. Let me tell you something, nothing but Jesus can satisfy. Like Jesus can satisfy. Hey man, you refuse him. You refuse him. And I tell you what, when you're needing a drink, when you really, I mean, now my wife, and I drink them too. I don't know why. It's about a waste, but diet sodas. We got the refrigerator full of them. I come in from working, all I want is to see water stuffed in that refrigerator. And I'll come in and I'll grab one of them stinking old diet sodas and I'll drink that thing. And you know what? It doesn't satisfy. Amen. It doesn't take the thirst away. It doesn't do what water can do. But man, I can take that water. It don't even have to be cold when I'm really thirsty. I've carried water around in my truck. It hot, and I would be out on the job somewhere. I need something to drink, and I go get one of them hot bottles of water and drink it. And let me tell you what, it will satisfy. Amen? It will satisfy. Let me tell you something. The world sugarcoats it. The world tries to package it. The world tries to make it pretty. Amen? But there's nothing more precious than water. Amen? There's nothing more needful than water. Amen? And you can try everything else, but nothing will satisfy your thirst like Jesus can. In John chapter number 6, I got 7 of these. I need to hurry. Amen? In John chapter number 6, he said in verses 48 to 51, I am the bread of life. Amen? That ought to be enough right there. He said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. The bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man I may eat thereof and not die. He said, this is the bread that comes down from heaven. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He said, let me tell you something. He said, man has for centuries, man for eons has found a substance. They have found something to try to satisfy their hunger and to try to fill them the way that they want to be filled. Just like water satisfies the thirst, sometimes there's nothing like a good solid meal. Amen. To satisfy the soul. You can eat the junk food. Amen. But you still long and you still want a real meal. Amen. You can eat the snack food and it still just don't do. It might curb things for a while. But man, you still want some meat and potatoes. Amen. You still want something that's going to stick to your ribs. You know, I eat them noodles and they don't do much for me. Amen. Some folks are admitting, my wife's a noodle bender. Amen. She loves a noodle any way that you can dream of fixing it. I do believe. But praise God, I can eat that stuff and it don't do it for me. But you give me some real food, amen. You give me something that will stick to your ribs and it sustains and it helps and it satisfies, amen. Jesus said, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. And who supplied the manna? God supplied the manna, amen. And he said they all died. God supplies for our needs. And sometimes we take the things that God supplies and we try to supply God, we try to supplant Jesus with the things that he gives us. Amen. Can I get an amen to that? Sometimes we let our jobs get in the way. Sometimes we let the things that he gives us get in the way. Sometimes we let our relationships with people get in the way. Amen. That was pretty weak, amen. Sometimes we let things hinder. God gives us all these things. He gave the manna, but they still died, amen. He said, but now look. He said, I am the bread that's come down from above. He said, I'm going to give my flesh that man might live. Let me tell you something. If you refuse the bread of life, you refuse life. The bread of life. If you refuse and reject Jesus this morning, and you're hoping, and you're thinking, and you're planning for what's going to happen after you die, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself in a place called hell. Amen. You're going to find yourself in a place of eternal damnation. You're going to find yourself in a place where you are continually dying. Fella sent me an email this week, had a bunch of signs on it, and one of them I liked. It said danger. I'm going to get this right now. I want to get it. It's really good. He said, danger. I want this to be good. I want it to be right. Danger may cause death. And then down underneath that, it says, and it will hurt real bad while you're dying. Amen. I tell you what, a lot of truth in that. Especially where we work, there's a lot of ways to die. It's not the dying that I'm afraid of. Hey, man, I've told you all that before. I ain't afraid to die. That's not a problem. Hey, man, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, I'm not afraid to die. Hey, man, it's just dying. Hey, man, I just don't want it to hurt. Hey, man, you know, I want to get it over with quick. Hey, man, in fact, it's probably going to happen because my wife, she prays that we'll die together. Hey, man, so you know that entails some tragic accident, which is probably going to be over quick. Hey, man, and you know, God gives her ways so many times. Amen. It's not the dying that bothers me. It's the hurting and the pain that's entailed in dying. That's what hell will be for all of eternity. You'll wish that you could die. You will wish that you could quit existing. You will wish that you had never existed. Job said, I cursed the day that they said that a man child was born. Cursed the day that he was even born. Hell will be going through the pains of death. Burning in agony, in torture, in torment. And it never stopping. And you never getting to death. But it can't be described as life because it is actually going through the throes of death. I don't know any better way to describe it for all of eternity. But Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Amen. Amen. I am the bread of life. If you want hope beyond this world, if you want hope for all of eternity, you need to accept his offer. You need to accept what he's given to you. He said, I'm offering my flesh. I'm going to become the bread of life. And I will give life. I will give for the life of the world. He don't want us to die. He don't want us to go through death. And he don't want us to die for all of eternity and suffer and pain and agony in the places that were never intended for us to be, that place called hell. He said, I come and I'm going to give my body, I'm going to give my life as a gift of life for all who will receive it and accept it. You know, they say wheat is the staff of life. You know, it's the one thing that has sustained mankind in its existence. The bread that we eat, the bread that man has had, not like we know bread today, but it's the one thing that was stable. It was the one thing that could be depended upon. It was the one thing when nothing else was there. When they throw Jeremiah into prison, they give him just what he needed to survive, just what he needed to suffice him. And what was the two things they give him? Bread and water. That's right. Amen. You have bread and water, your physical nutritional needs are met. Jesus said, I am the living water. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If you have Jesus, you have everything. You might not have all that this world has to offer you, but praise God, when you have him, you have all that you need. Amen. He said, I'm the bread of life. Refuse him and you'll hunger for truth. Refuse him. You'll hunger for some kind of answers to what's going on in life. Refuse him and you'll hunger for the things that will bring satisfaction and bring peace to your life. Refuse him and you refuse life. Because you got to understand. You got to be aware. You got to realize what's going on. Realize who you are. Realize who he is. The world's hungering for truth. but they're getting everything else. Amen. The world's hungering for things that can satisfy, but all they're getting is religion. The world is hungering, and the world is famished. The world is hungering, and the world is dying for lack of accepting. The world is hungering, and the bread of life is right there for the taking. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 12, verse 44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus wants you to know something this morning. He wants you to know this about him, that no matter what dark secret is lurking on the inside of you, no matter how blind you walk through life, that he can shed a light upon it. Amen. Some folks, they go through dark times in their life, and they go through times of depression, times of despair, times of hopelessness. But praise God, if you turn to Jesus, he'll flip the switch. Amen. And he'll turn the light on. He said, I am the light of the world. He that believeth on me, I shall not walk in darkness. We got folks that are dealing with addictions. We got folks that are dealing with relationship problems. We got folks that are struggling just to make ends meet. And their life seems so helpless and so hopeless. And it just seems like it's just getting darker and darker. And despair is getting stronger and stronger. Let me tell you something this morning. If you'll try Jesus, amen, just try Jesus. The Bible says, taste and see that he is good. Amen. If you'll just try Jesus, you'll be amazed at what a little light from on high can do. Amen. A lot of things that we treat with medicine today used to be treated with just some plain old simple things. I know when my kids were born, if they were, what's that yellow, Sherry? Jaundice. Yeah, there you go. That's the word I'm looking for. If they were jaundice, they would tell you to set them in the light. Take them by the window. Set them in the light. The light can make a change. The light can make a difference. The light can help. There's things that the light can do. There's things that the light can heal and can help. There's things that the light does that nothing else can really do. Let me tell you something. There's things that Jesus can do that no one else and nothing else can do for you. I was in sin, on my way to hell. A no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten sinner that deserved to be in hell if my back broke. Oh, most Southern preachers say that. I don't know, you know, what difference does it make in hell, suffering, pain? But just add a little more to it. You know, we're always trying to add a little more to God's word, embellish upon a little more, make it a little better. I'd be in hell if my back broke. Amen. But you know what happened? One day I heard the preaching of the word. One day I heard somebody preach about Jesus. Amen. One day the light of the world revealed to me my condition. I got to see me for who I really was and not for who I thought I was. I got to see me as God seen me because I wasn't in darkness. I had now been enlightened because Jesus had passed my way. He said, I'm the light of the world. And they that receive me will no longer have to walk in darkness. Folks, let me tell you something. We have no excuse. In America especially, there is no excuse. There's preaching everywhere. There's churches everywhere. Turn the TV on if you want to, and you can find preaching. You can find the light if you're looking for the light, but you don't even have to find it because it's already found you. It's already revealed our sin. It's already revealed our condition. Thou art inexcusable, oh man, the Apostle Paul wrote. And let me tell you something. Since Jesus came into this world, and since Jesus left us such a perfect example, and since Jesus showed us the cause of our sin, and he showed us the remedy of our sin, we no longer walk in darkness. But we refuse the light. Right. Amen. We can refuse the light. We can choose to walk in darkness. We can choose to walk according to the course of this world. And we can choose to find ourselves in a place called hell because we refuse to accept him who revealed unto us who we are, who revealed unto us our sin, who revealed unto us the condemnation of sin, who revealed unto us the sacrifice for sin, who revealed unto us that he was the cure, he was the remedy, he was the answer for our sin. Walk in darkness, refuse him, and you'll wind up in a place called hell. Plain and simple. We can't walk blindly. We can't walk not knowing where we're going and it not hinder us and hurt us. He said, I've come that you don't have to walk in darkness. I've come that you don't have to be wandering. You don't have to be groping along. You don't have to be trying to determine what's right and what's wrong. He said, I've come a light. The problem is a lot of us don't want to know and don't want to accept what he says is right and wrong. And we choose to turn the light off in our hearts spiritually and walk in darkness. Refuse the light and accept hell, because that's where darkness will lead you. That's where darkness will take you. Jesus said in John chapter number 10, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. We're looking for the way to heaven. The world is seeking on how they can get to heaven. The light has revealed the way. Amen. The water and the bread, they sustain us in the way. The great I am has reminded us that he has done all things well, and he always will and always can and always has. And praise God that he's made a way for us. And that way is a door that's called Jesus. There is no other way. A door was hung at Calvary. It's standing open wide. I better not. But praise God. A door was hung. A door was hung. That is the only way to heaven. Jesus said every other way and every other one that says they have a door are thieves and robbers. Amen. Anyone that tries to get in any other way is a thief and a robber. Amen. He is the only door. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Let me tell you something this morning. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to know for sure that you're saved, if you want complete peace in your heart, and realizing that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're on your way to heaven, you need to go through that door. Amen. There is no other way. Amen. Amen. Your goodness isn't going to get you there. You're going to come up empty. Amen. Your theology. Well, Pastor, I don't agree with that, and I think this, and I think that. You can think whatever you want to. But Jesus said, I'm the door. There's only one way. Jesus said, I'm the way. There is no other way. The Word of God says that He sent His Son into the world to die for sinners, that He might make a way when there was no way. Let me tell you something this morning. He is the only door to salvation. He said, when they come in through me and they find salvation, if you refuse Him as the only door for your hope of eternity, you refuse His eternal salvation. Amen. I am the door. Amen. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Amen. The only way that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning is to trust in Jesus. The only door, the only way, the only conduit, the only means to heaven. The only means to the place that's been prepared for us. Further down in chapter number 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You see, he is the good shepherd. But the shepherd was the Lamb of God. Sometimes we miss who He is by seeing Him how we want to see Him. We see Him as the shepherd and miss Him as the lamb. That's what's happening in the world. The world wants to see Him one way, but they won't accept Him the other way. Amen? They see Him and they'll accept Him as a teacher and as a preacher, as a great figure in history that made a change in the world, but they won't accept Him as the Lamb of God. John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad that the shepherd gave his life for the sheep. Amen. I'm glad that the shepherd was willing to lay himself down, was willing to surrender everything, the one who had created everything, the one who is the great I am, one day laid his life down and let them nail him to an old rugged cross and hang him between heaven and earth that he might become a door for a pathway for man to get to God because sin has separated and the Lamb laid down his life and became a door, became a way, became a means that the sheep might live. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd is the one that comes by your way and speaks to your heart. The good shepherd is the one who gently draws you back into the fold when you try to go astray. The good shepherd is the one who takes a sheep that has never been a part of the fold, that's been lost, and brings him into the fold and lets him become a part. The good shepherd is the one who loves the sheep enough that he don't force you to join his flock. He doesn't force you to do anything to merit life because of your own righteousness, because of your own goodness, because of what your abilities, because you have the finest fleece, because you are the most obedient sheep that follows the shepherd around. There's a lot of sheep in this world. Amen? Amen. Most of them are following the wrong shepherd. But there's a lot of sheep in this world. But this shepherd says, look, my sheep know my voice. My sheep will hear me and follow me. But my sheep can't do this on their own. And Satan, as a roaring lion, is seeking my sheep to devour them. From the Garden of Eden, he started devouring. The Lord told Peter, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. The enemy was raging. The enemy was strong. The enemy was greater than his sheep's ability. But the shepherd said, I'll lay down my life for the sheep. I'll give myself a sacrifice. And he said, I can give my sheep eternal life. He said, I can keep them in the palm of my hand. And he said, my Father that's greater than I will keep them in his hand. And he said, my sheep can know peace. My sheep can know assurance. My sheep can know salvation. Because it's not according to their ability, but according to what I've done. A little further in chapter 10, Jesus said, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. You see, Jesus isn't just another figure in history. He's just not someone else that we learn about in school. He is the Son of God. He is the hope of mankind. He is the redemption that only God could provide. He is the only Savior. He is the only salvation. He is the only hope. To refuse him is to refuse God's perfect gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen, brother.
God's great gift. But a gift is not a gift if the gift has not been received. To reject him and to refuse him is to refuse God's gift. And God wants to give you his gift so badly. He said in Revelations 3 and 23, I think it is, or 3 and 20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open, I'll come in to him and sup with him and he with me. You see, Jesus wants you to know something this morning. He wants us to see and realize something this morning. Not only is he the master of the wind, not only is he the creator of the universe, not only is he a mighty figure on the annals of history, but this morning he's really all that you need. If you've never accepted him as your Savior, he wants to be your Savior.